Everybody find a seat, please. Everybody in the back. All right, guys, we're back to kind of our normal routine this week. And then next week will be our final week of this semester. And I already want to plant the idea in your brain. Two ideas we'll talk more about next week is one, just because you've completed 12 weeks this semester doesn't mean you can't come back and join us again next semester, especially if you're like, okay, this was good. I started to take some steps forward, but I feel like there's still some stuff I want to work through. This is a great place to work through it. So you all are welcome back. We heard Matthew's testimony earlier this semester, and he was here with us in the spring, and he decided to do it again this fall and got a whole new book and is going through the whole new book again. And it's fun when you do multiple books to be able to compare, all right, what changed this time to the previous time? So think about that. And I think it would be great if all of you guys began thinking about who's somebody I could share my experience with from this semester and encourage them to think about signing up for next semester. So you're about to hear a testimony from somebody that was here before and has done Regen for Students and finished it. And two friends from her small group are here with us this semester, partially because she shared her experience with them. And they were like, well, maybe I should try that. So it's a great example of what I just encourage all of you guys to think about. So with that introduction, welcome to the stage, Ainsley Stewart. Aiden, Ainsley, come on up. Oh, Ains. All right, I've just started telling people to stay up here because I'm going to interview them. My favorite part is the follow-up questions. Now, okay, you said, where is it? Now I'm going, forget it. I can't find it, what you said. But the sentence has started. Since then, I've reassessed my relationship with the Lord and now find life in what he says about me instead of what the world does. And so, as you've reassessed your relationship with the Lord, here's my first follow-up question. Because tonight's step that we're focused on is new habits. And so since then, coming out of your experience in Regen for Students, what has your relationship with the Lord looked like on a day-to-day basis? Because we're about to talk about time, place, and plan for spending daily time with the Lord. So do you have that?
If so,
describe.
Okay. I, first of all, used to, part of like this, is I used to think like going to Regen and going to Shoreline and going to small group every week, like that's how I checked the box. But it's not just a box to check. It's like actually how you're feeling. So now, every day when I pick up the little girl that I nanny, I sit in my car and I just keep all my stuff in my car and I read New Morning Mercies, which is a really good devotional if you're looking for somewhere to start. And it has a little like recommended verse if you want to keep reading at the bottom. So then I open up my Bible and I read that and I like journal in my Bible about what I'm reading. And then I have this Bob Goff book that has like a daily, just like little excerpt and the story that goes along with it. So I read that. And then I write down in my Bible both of the little sentences that New Morning Mercies and the Bob Goff book have so that I'm reminded of that one sentence and it can stick with me throughout the day.
That's awesome. So you got a time whenever you're picking up girl, you got a place in your car. I don't know, does girl have a name?
Susan.
Yeah, Susan. A love child? Susan. I've never met a child named Susan.
So
I've only met adults.
Yeah, well, they have to be a kid at one point.
Wow.
So. Susan the
That's like
grader.
Out in the wild, a child named Susan, they exist.
I know.
You've seen one.
I have, in the flesh.
So that's your time picking up Susan. Your place is in your car, and your plan is New Morning Mercies, God's Word, and then Bob Goff devotional. That's so great. Hey, you said something I want to highlight here, guys. So if you had someone that you wanted to develop a friendship with, and that someone, let's just say you're a soccer player, and they went to your school, they were on your soccer team, and they even went to your church. So you were kind of in an environment with them quite often throughout the week, several times. But every time they texted you, you ignored it. And you never read it. You kind of noticed, you saw their name, and then you never texted them back. How far would that friendship go? It would not go, obviously. And isn't that a great analogy for what she described that many of us do with the Lord? Is, okay, we're going to show up at this church things and these Bible studies and, you know, Shoreline and all these things. But every single day, God wants to talk to us through his word. Every single day, he's trying to send us a message. And how often do we just kind of swipe that to the side and ignore it and miss the opportunity to engage and talk back to him through prayer? And God wants to have that sort of daily relationship with us. Now, the other thing we're going to talk about, Ainsley, real quick, is like a commitment to community. So our new habits, daily Bible reading, commitment to community. So what does that mean for you? Like Watermark has small groups. Describe your journey there.
So I have a small group, have since sixth grade. And I've gone to that like consistently. And then once the community group idea started up, me and five other girls formed one, and we were all like the members at our church or committed at least. And we meet every week on now Sundays. And we like dive more into our personal walks instead of just like at small group where we read the Bible and learn something about the Lord's character. At community group, we dive into like, how are you really doing this week? What have you been learning? Stuff like that. And then I also have an accountability partner, and we text every day. And just, even if it's not like necessarily like really strict, just like, hey, how are you? How was your day? What happened today? Because I don't really see Caroline at school. And just like, what are you learning? Is there anything I can be praying for you for? Just stuff like that. So I'm held very accountable, and I'm very thankful for
it. Yeah, there's all these groups. Yes. So the community group, would you say it's more like the group you had at Regen for students, where it's more open and you're just like talking honestly about how your week was?
Yeah, and that's also been really helpful, was like having gone through Regen and seeing the level of like connection that I had with the people in my group, and like craving that with my community group, and like being able to encourage them by being vulnerable myself and to like opening up other people and stuff like that. And it's been really good to like dive in and like know about my friends. Like there's people in my community group I've gone to school with since kindergarten, and like actually knowing how they're doing. It's really important.
It's weird realizing how much you didn't know them.
Yes.
And then you get to know how they're really doing. So who all, just point out, you have people from your small group, community group here.
Brayden's in my small group. Rachel is my friend. She comes to small group sometimes. Caroline's in my community. And Aiden's in my small group too.
And?
Elizabeth. My small group leader.
They're small group leaders. Yeah. I love it. They're all here.
They're all here.
And you
two
guys,
of my Regen leaders.
And
Anna and Caitlin are here too.
Oh, there you go. And were you guys somewhat inspired or encouraged by her to come participate this fall? Okay, so thumbs up, thumbs down. And the experience here so far this fall. Thumbs up. Okay, way to go. That's awesome. No, her testimony was, that was good? Okay, great. All right, let's give it up for Ainsley one more time. Thank you so much, Ainsley. All right, guys, hey, open up your books. Addison or somebody in the back, help us out. If you don't have a pen, you might want a pen, because I'm going to talk at you a little bit more tonight, and then I promise I won't talk a lot next week. But I really do want to emphasize what we just emphasized with Ainsley about these new habits, and I hope this is really helpful. So just to recap, the letter H, help. I'm not going to read the whole thing. The letter E, entirely trust God. These are things we've learned this semester. The letter A, assess the situation, confess, you know, take an inventory and then confess. Then we have the letter L, life change. We figure out the changes God wants to make. We repent. We turn away from sin and towards God with our life. Letter I, initiate reconciliation. We talked about forgiveness and amends. Guys, I hope, I really, really hope these are listed before every step, that you are truly taking the time to make the effort. I think it will be so helpful for you if you just memorize these and you just know the word healing by heart. So if you've ever find yourself struggling or stuck at some point in your life, you can go back to this and realize, all right, which step am I missing that I need to go back to? Because I promise you, if you live your life by these seven steps, these letters, every single day, You wake up every day and you go, all right, help God. I entirely trust you. Show me where there's been sin in my life and I'm going to confess it to you and confess it to others. My accountability partner, she just described, I'm going to have somebody. I'm going to tell them how I'm doing. I'm going to open up God's word and see where God wants to lead me, where he wants me to go, what he wants me to change. And I'm going to make sure that I'm right and have at peace in all my relationships. I'm going to forgive people who hurt me. I'm going to make amends where I do wrong. And then if you have new habits that you build into your life and then you're going around and sharing what God is doing, the big story of what he's done through Jesus Christ, but the little things he's done in your life every single day to give you hope and encouragement, I promise you, if you live that way, your life will be increasingly marked with peace and joy and hope and comfort and love for those around you, and you will be a source of blessing in this world. And I really believe that's what God wants for you. So let's talk about these new habits that are really going to drive home everything you've learned so far this semester. This week, we're talking about seeking God daily, our faith growing, and then continuing to walk the steps towards healing, as I just described. And so to start off introducing this step, I want to give you one scripture and then an illustration to back it up. The scripture is this. This is the main one for new habits, is Colossians 2, verses 6 through 7, written by the Apostle Paul. He was part of planting this church in a town called Colossae, and so the people who lived there were called Colossians, and he wrote a letter back to these people. And in the letter, he encouraged them with this. He said, all right, just as you accepted Jesus Christ or Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. We talked about this back in Entirely Trust God, about how we receive Jesus as our Savior, but then we also follow him as our Lord every single day. And we continue to do that, and we let our roots go down deeper and deeper into him, and we let our lives be built on him. Jesus said that building your life on him is like building your life on the rock, and building your life on anything else is like building your house on sand, where waves and wind can wash it away. And so then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you'll overflow with thankfulness. That's what I just described. I want your lives to overflow with thankfulness. So continue to follow him. So here's the illustration I want to give you this evening is this. Have you ever heard of this TV show, The Biggest Loser? Back when my first son was born, you're up all night. This was back before we had Apple TV and Netflix. That's how old I am. It was 13 years ago. We had TiVo, which was like a DVR, and my wife and I started recording seasons of The Biggest Loser, and when we were up all night with a crying baby, we would watch episodes of The Biggest Loser, and we got really into it. And here's what The Biggest Loser is contestants come in, it's a reality show, with what I would describe as morbid obesity. And here's what that means, is they were so overweight that their lives were in danger. Every season starts with a doctor evaluating the contestants, and they would all have things like diabetes and heart disease. And literally the doctor would be like, if you continue down this road, your life is going to end dramatically early. You have some major changes you need to make. And then it's this inspirational show where together they work with trainers and dietitians, they change their diet, their exercise routine, and then they lose tons of weight. So let me give you some examples of these people from Biggest Loser. This was Ryan from an early season before and then after. This was another guy named Eric. Eric is before and after. Lost a ton of weight on the show. And then you have this guy named Matt before and after. And so like this was, we were like binge watching these seasons when our baby was really little. But then we kind of graduated from the show and moved on. And a couple years ago, I started to wonder, I was like, hey, remember that show? My wife and I were talking about it. And I was like, I wonder whatever happened to those contestants whose lives totally changed. Like we watched, like most weeks people were crying and their family was celebrating. Like we have him back and he's going to be with us forever now. He's not going to die early. And it was like this incredibly heartwarming, inspirational deal. So I started to look up, hey, Biggest Loser, where are they now? And it was weird. I had the hardest time finding anybody who won The Biggest Loser. And then I found this study and it says this. In 2016, the results of a long-term study by the U.S. National Institute of Health were released. And they did a study on contestants from The Biggest Loser. And it says, it is reported that a majority of the contestants on The Biggest Loser, listen to this, regained their weight. And in some cases, gained more than before they entered the contest. So here's Ryan. after he regained the weight. He put it back on. Here's Eric. I found a picture of him after he regained the weight that he lost. Not all of it, but some of it. And here's Matt after he regained the weight that he lost. And the only picture I could find of Matt, he just ironically was eating. So here's why I share that. I wanted you to have these images and this idea of the Biggest Loser because, guys, this is not about your bodies. This is not about your weight. This is not about your eating or your exercise. This is a metaphor for our spiritual lives. And this happens so much with young people. Oftentimes in youth groups, they'll go to a camp or some sort of retreat, or they'll do some program like Regeneration for Students. And we use this phrase, spiritual high, where it's like God comes in, he does this work in your life, you're excited to follow him, you commit your life to him, you're devoted to him, and then the high wears off. And we also have this term that you found in your book if you went through your curriculum this week, relapse. Relapse basically means you lapse back in to your old way of living. And what these new habits are all about is making some small changes in your life that you repeat day after day that will ultimately prevent you from relapsing, from going back into the things that brought you into this room in the first place. And that's why these Biggest Losers weren't able to keep their weight off, is because they did not continue the new habits that they learned while they were on the show. And so we're going to talk about what are the new habits that you can do to continue growing in the healing that God has brought to you and living a life that is ultimately healthy. So you move, we want to transition from healing to health with these new habits. And so let's talk about this. Tonight I just want to share with you the three most important habits of spiritually healthy people. Now let me emphasize this real quick. These are not the only habits of spiritually healthy people. There are a lot of other habits that you can learn about and you could activate in your life, but I think these are the three most important ones, and I'm just going to go through them really quickly. Number one is this, daily Bible reading. There are a few things that all of us, I think, do every single day. I take a shower every day. I brush my teeth every day. I actually brought with me my deodorant because I put on deodorant every day. And yes, this is Secret Vava Vanilla. I wear women's deodorant. You've got to keep your armpits guessing, guys. You've got that, like, they should never know what's coming. I have Degree one day and Vava Vanilla the next. And my armpits are like, how do I stop this? I never know what's coming my way. But every day I put on deodorant, and you should too. I also know this. You get dressed every day. You eat every day. Because here's what you've learned. Your body requires some degree of regular maintenance in order to function and be a healthy, functioning individual in society. So if we give such attention to our bodies, we sleep every night, we shower, we brush our teeth, we put on Vava Vanilla, we get dressed, we appropriately cover our bodies, and we eat and nourish ourselves and drink water or get some liquid in us to survive, why do we neglect our spirit? Why do we neglect the spiritual part when we take care with daily habits and routines, our physical part? And so the first habit to feed our spirit is daily Bible reading. And it can be as simple as having a devotional with you in your car, and when you stop somewhere and you have 10 minutes to wait till someone comes out, you read that devotional. Or you get to school 10 minutes early and you read it in your car, or you find a spot, or right before you go to bed. But Jesus said in Matthew 4:4 this about God's word. He said, people don't live by bread alone. You see, you feed your body by bread alone, but they live by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And there are many other scriptures that talk about the importance of depending on God's word every single day. And so I want to encourage you to come up with what Ainsley described, a time, a place, and a plan for daily Bible reading. I'm going to share with you quickly what mine is. I realized several years ago when I woke up in the morning, the first thing I was doing was hitting my news app or hitting some social media. And it just kind of started off my day on a sour note. So I made a decision. You see down in the bottom left not the first one that's news, but the second one, Solid Joys. There's a devotional by a pastor named John Piper, who I really enjoy listening to and reading what he's written. And he has a short daily devotional on this app called Solid Joys. And I just made a commitment to myself, my wife, and my community group that before I touched any other app on my phone, I'm going to read the Solid Joys app, and I'm going to start my day in God's Word. So that's the first thing I do just right when I wake up. It takes like 2 minutes. And then after I've showered or I've worked out or whatever it is, I have a time before I leave the house every morning, a place, my kitchen table right there, and then my plan. I eat a banana, drink a cup of coffee, maybe have some almond butter, have a cup of water to go with the coffee so I get hydrated, and then I read my Bible and I write down some prayers in my journal. It's just very simple, very simple. But that's my time, my place, and my plan. And I'm telling you, it's the easiest way to make a habit. It's just schedule it, time, place, and then have a plan. And if you don't have a plan, you've heard a couple already tonight, but your step group leaders can help you with it. Let's move on to habit number two. It's a commitment to community. You heard that in Ainsley's life. Romans 12, we'll go to that. Verses 4 and 5 says this, just as our bodies, so we talked about feeding our physical bodies and caring for them. We have many parts in our body. Each part has a special function. So it is with Christ's body. So it is with the church, with spirits coming together. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. And so I have this story. I won't go into great detail of this girl named Kathy Staten, who I went to school with in seventh grade. And in seventh grade, back in the day, we actually had a class called wood shop that had a bunch of saws, and you would build stuff in school and learn like how to do, crafts and different, construction things. And one day, you started seeing fire trucks pull up to the school and everybody's kind of running around. Rumors start spreading. It turns out the rumor was true that while pushing a piece of wood across a table saw, Kathy Staten caught her middle finger in the saw because she had her fingers spread out like this pushing the wood, and she chopped off her middle finger. And so the ambulance had to come. The teacher had to stop the bleeding, find the finger, put it in a bag of ice, and get it with her to the ER, where they were able to sew her finger back on. But once they got it sewed back on, there was some damage done. Her middle finger ended up being shorter than her other fingers. And it was incredible. And I don't have the picture, but I did find Kathy Staten as an adult on Facebook. And there's one picture where she's waving and you can see her short little stubby middle finger. And it brought so much joy to my life. But here's why I share that story. When someone loses an appendage, be it a finger, a foot, an arm, a leg, something gets cut off in war, the first thing you do is you find that appendage and you get them to a surgeon as quickly as possible. And here's the reason why. The appendage cannot live independent from the body. All of the life of that finger comes through the body. The heart pumps blood and it carries oxygen. The nerves bring electricity and they activate the muscles. The tendons are connected to the other tendons. Every part has to be connected for it to work. And if it's disconnected, it dies. And that's what happens to our spiritual selves, is when we get disconnected from other Christians, we're disconnected from the life of God. Because the power and the love of God, by God's design in this scripture, is meant to flow into your life through other Christians. That's why it's so encouraging to be in a circle like the circles you're in here with other Christians who encourage you and strengthen you and point you back to truth and remind you of God's love and his goodness and his direction and plan for your life. And so if you don't have a regular connection with other Christians, your faith is going to die. Because you're like a finger who's cut off from the body. So this is your chance to make sure you reattach and you stay attached to the body. You have a commitment to community. And lastly, we just talked about initiate reconciliation. The third habit, I think most important habit, is keeping short accounts. And here's what that means is you read about this in your book. This is about keeping a short account between you and someone else, meaning there's not a bunch of wrongs done to you or wrongs done by you that build up over time, but that account doesn't get full. you keep that account short and small by forgiving any wrong done to you or making amends for any little wrong that you have done. This could be big things, but little things. Hey, I mean, I said this to my kids the other night. Hey, I was really upset with the way you guys handled that situation. The boys were a little rough with their little sister and she ended up hitting her head and getting hurt. And then instead of calling me in, they tried to make it go away and cover it up. You know how siblings do. And I was ticked at those boys. So I'm holding my crying daughter. I'm like, what did you do? You know, and I've got that condescending tone. And later I had to go to my boys to keep short accounts and say, hey, I was upset and I think you were wrong. But I also was wrong with the tone of voice that I used. And I wish I hadn't used that tone of voice. And I'm sorry. Will you forgive me for using that tone of voice with you? And I made amends, but it's just a little thing. But you do it each and every day to keep that account short. All right? So, look, if we don't have peace with others who are made in God's image, because he made every other person in God's image, we don't have peace with God. And so we've got to be peacemakers. There's a couple scriptures. I won't take time to read them all here, but I'll put them on the screen. They're in your books. Colossians 3:13 talks about forgiving others as the Lord forgave us. And then you have Matthew 5:23-24 that we looked at last week that talked about, man, don't go worship God at church when someone has something against you. Go make amends first because your relationship with others impacts your relationship with God. So, new habits are about sustaining your faith, guys. Continuing the healing that God has brought into your life with new habits for healthy living. So these are the three most important ones, in my opinion. Of course, there's other things you could do, but this is a great start. You do daily Bible reading, commit to community, and you keep short accounts. So your healing is incomplete without these things. So I want to close with one more story of a Biggest Loser. This is Patrick House, and he had one of the most dramatic weight losses of the whole show. And when I looked up Patrick, I found that he was kind of the exception to the rule, and he had managed to keep the weight off. Here's a picture of Patrick and his wife today. And this was the quote that was with this picture on his Facebook. He said, oh boy, no turning back now. I'm so excited to run, get this, my 9th marathon tomorrow with Mickey Mouse and a bunch of friends. It's gonna be such an amazing day. And here's another picture of Patrick running a marathon. And as I read more about Patrick, he just kept up the habits of daily exercise and healthy eating. And he did it through finding a community of others who were also pursuing healthy living. Because that was one of the things that was most helpful about being on The Biggest Loser was having others that were doing it with him. And so they made it a priority in their family. They dedicated finances to having a trainer. They dedicated finances to being a member of a gym. And they dedicated finances to food so they could eat healthy. But they made it a priority in their life to keep up these habits. And he's ended up running 9 marathons. And I looked and I loved this quote that I found from Patrick. He said, maintenance is tough, but it's not impossible. And I think that is so true for our Christian walk with God. As we come to the end of this program in just 1 week, I want to tell you, maintaining the health and the healing that you've begun to experience through working these steps these last 11 weeks, it is not going to be easy. It's tough. It's tough to start a new daily habit. It's tough to commit to relationships. It's tough to make amends and admit when you're wrong over and over again. But I'm here to tell you, and every leader in this room is here to tell you, it's not impossible. And every testimony that is shared with you this semester, all 11 of them, they're here to tell you, it's not impossible. It's tough, but it's not impossible. So I want you guys to go to your groups tonight. You have a little bit less time than last week because I talked longer, but I want everybody to share. All right, here's what I'm going to try to make my time, my place, and my plan. Here are the people that are, I think, could be my community where I'm going to make a commitment to. Here are ways from last week that I still need to offer forgiveness. I still need to make amends so that I can keep short accounts in my life. Talk about these three things with your group. Let me say a short prayer and we'll get you out of here. Lord, I pray that something I said, if it was of you, would stick with the people that were listening tonight. And I pray that they would be encouraged to spend time with you each and every day, feeding their soul just as much as they feed their bodies. I pray that they would spend time every week connecting with other believers to be strengthened and connected to the body of Christ. And I pray that we would be peacemakers each and every day so that we can maintain peace with you because we have peace with others who are made in your image. So would you help us as we strive to figure out how to live these things out in 2020 here in Dallas, Texas. In Jesus' name, amen.